Welcome to Church Online. We gather as one across places, across time, as one to worship, pray and reflect, all to our great God. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. We light a candle and I encourage you to light one too. A tangible symbol reminding us of the presence of Christ, the light of the world. And it's also a symbol of our unity together with all Christians across the world and across time. Right now, the Uniting Church is engaged in a national conversation about its future. The Act 2 project is the biggest conversation we're having as the Uniting Church, a whole of church process and approach to discerning the future to which God is calling us. As a part of that, the National Uniting Church is calling the whole church together to join in prayer. 26 days of prayer from next Sunday, the 28th of May. And we'll share more about that next week. The Reverend Dr. Phil Carr is bringing us the message today. Phil is a retired minister worshipping in Adelaide West at the 9:15 service, and we're grateful that he continues to serve God by sharing with us. And so we sing together as one. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. The reading today is from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, it's a really beautiful thing when someone says to us, I really love you. More than music to our ears, it's a bit like a symphony to the soul. Those four little words can change our whole life. I think it's on a par with someone who looks at us and says, I'll pray for you. I reckon many have heard that, especially if their life had got a bit challenging. And this expression too can change our life. Back in the 1970s, when I was in my 20s, I faced my first serious malignancy. A group of young people came to my office at the university and they said they'd like to pray for me. But not stopping there, they wanted to go even further and anoint me, which is really part of the biblical ritual when praying for healing. However, they had no oil to make the sign of the cross on my forehead. So they went to the kitchen and got a bottle of detergent and anointed me with palm olive gold. It was clearly not something that James, the biblical writer, had in mind, but their intention was really good. What was read from the Bible today is potentially another life-changing moment. When Jesus prayed a four-word prayer, may they be one. He was asking that all of us would be one in heart and mind with everyone else, bound together with love. In his last hours as a free man, Jesus gave his followers a foot wash. He broke bread with them. He told them that life was principally about making and cherishing deep, loving connections with whoever we meet, just like he did. And then he prayed. Just moments away from arrest, trial, and execution, Jesus prayed for us and not for himself. He pleaded that we'd be like him, united and committed to each other. So there'd be no divisions within families, within churches, within denominations, within communities and nations. No separation wherever people came together. But as passionate as Jesus was for this to transpire, we both know that we live in a world still today that's riddled with what amounts to us and them mentality, to splits between male and female, parents and children, rich and poor, straight and gay, white and black, Christian and Muslim, liberal and conservative, sinner and saved, fundamentalist and progressive, just to mention a few disconnects. And we reckon that refusing to be of one heart and mind with others, by disregarding them or saying that they're dead to us, we think it actually improves our lot in life. On the contrary, this discrimination, this non-cooperation is why there are ongoing wars, divisions in society, global inequalities of every kind, and so much individual suffering. These rifts that can come between us are like a hot knife that cuts deep into the human heart, that distorts our personal well-being. For every disengagement leaves us more diminished. It leaves us less of a real person. And this segregation will haunt us until the moment we make it right. You see, the truth is, we humans were not designed to shun people without there being serious consequences. The crazy thing is that the people we shut out are ultimately the same as us. No better, no worse. All of us need someone special to love. All of us need something special to do, and all of us need something special to hope for. We're in this life together, and we must deal with life's challenges, life's pain and sorrow, life's grief and anxiety. All of us, under the skin, are so similar. Now, returning to Jesus' prayer that we might be one at heart and mind with everyone, there's evidence today that it is, well, kind of happening. On the religious front, there's never been a time when the different Christian denominations have been closer than they are right now. Many of the old boundaries between Catholics and Protestants have softened. Denominational leaders regularly dialogue together. There are also significant multi-faith connections like never before. How did you feel when at King Charles' coronation, he, as head of the worldwide Anglican Communion, invited both leaders of Christian denominations and leading clergy from other world religions? It wasn't all that long ago when anyone of another faith was not welcome in an Anglican church. And yet, on the big day, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and Sikh leaders were all up front at Westminster Cathedral. Surely this expression of unity would have Jesus saying, yes. But that said, I don't think there's ever been a time in history when there's been so much division within denominations and within churches. Like what's currently happening in the Anglican Diocese of London, where conservatives have broken away from other churches to create some new alliance because they won't come to one heart and one mind on matters concerning human sexuality. There's the United Methodist Church in the United States, where a huge number of congregations have defected for the same reasons. And sadly and regrettably, it's similar to what's happened here in the Uniting Church in Australia. It too has disunited over opposing views held by various clergy and church members about human sexuality. This propensity to walk away from others, people who, whether we like it or not, are made in God's image too, is not simply about differences of belief. You know, I think it goes far deeper than that. I think it goes right to the heart of our self-esteem. I think somewhere deep in here, we need to feel okay about ourselves, that we're right and that someone else is wrong. And that by parting, we can tell ourselves that we're being faithful to God, we're being faithful to Scripture, and not them. And of course, as an added bonus, sticking together with like-minded people just makes life easier, doesn't it? I mean, it saves energy when you don't have to deal with those who think differently. And yet all the while, there's a still small voice praying that they'll be one. Pulling away from others for whatever reason is really being deaf to the plea of the King of Kings. I think it's a bit like slapping Jesus in the face. I think it's like spitting on him. Now, it's possible that some of you may be thinking, well, does that mean we all have to think the same way, have the same beliefs? By no means. Jesus didn't pray that our different beliefs and our different ethics should merge. Rather, that we'd stay in fellowship with each other despite those differences. That we'd share life together, regardless of what we did or did not believe. You know, there's something wonderful about finding oneness with those with whom we intellectually disagree. I reckon it's almost sacramental, because oneness in those situations points to God's grace. For being connected to all and sundry can't just be about compromise. It has to be about love. You know those things that last forever, faith, hope, and love? Where love is the greatest, because it alone enables us to rise above our differences and relate kindly and compassionately to one another. Love transcends our need for uniformity, but love preserves our unity even where there's contention. Just read about Jesus in the Bible and see how he welcomed and embraced folks from almost every walk of life. I know ministers who are poles apart theologically, yet for decades have remained the closest of friends. That's love. And I think that on some level they must understand that God's grace knows no boundaries. And as themselves recipients of God's love, their communion with each other tops their convictions even. You see, authentic faith is about everyone being loved fully, completely, and profoundly for who they are. For God and for those who live and move in God, there is no one group, no one faction, no association, no presbytery or diocese, no denomination, no religion, no society, no nation that's loved more than another. And while we at times may want to bunker down with those who think and speak the same as us, our Maker and those who walk in the footsteps of Jesus are not into this perverse idea of us versus them. Jesus prayed that we'd all be drawn together into the life of God. He prayed that we would be an answer to his prayer, that we would choose to live connected to all comers, that we'd show forgiveness and kindness and compassion, that we'd choose to love regardless of any perceived differences. Faith is doing whatever it takes to treat everyone as brother or sister, and every church that wants to be genuine will model and promote this unity in every possible way. So, friends, three little four-word statements that throughout our life we should keep offering to one another. I really love you. I'll pray for you. And we are forever one.
Streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people turn and pray. From the mountain to the valleys, hear our praises rise to glory fill the whole earth.
now a time for prayer. Gracious God, your love is closer to us than the air in our lungs. And because of that alone, we can love each other like you love us. Like Jesus, we can live in unity and peace, even with those who are seemingly so different to us. Because of your grace, we can act with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. We can act this way even towards those who live in ways that have wounded or hurt us or others. We can set aside our grievances. We can forgive all comers as you forgave us. Even those who think and act in ways that don't sit easily with us. Lord, because of your grace, we can claim what you've given us. Love and mercy, grace and forgiveness, and in turn, lavish them upon everyone in our life without exception. Gracious God, we acknowledge that under the skin, we are all so similar. Therefore, our best self now wants more than ever to be the answer to Jesus' prayer, to be deeply united with this world that you love so much and so eternally. Amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. In giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
It's a joy to be able to gather together in this way. Thank you for joining us today. If you would like prayer or pastoral care, please reach out to us, send us an email. We would love to pray with you. This week, commit to using the words, I really love you and I pray for you, remembering that we are forever one. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love and the presence of God, the friendship and the unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Yeah.
this week and remain with you always. Amen. Blessings on your week. Let's do that again.